is you can ask questions. Relevant questions may be aired. Rav, please.
Yes, the topic is truly central. Everything we learn at the beginning of every morning lesson are usually topics that are truly in the front line, the most highest degree of priority and importance for our spiritual work. Because altogether we understand that just like we learn, the Creator created the will to receive, and then through the change in it, we can come closer or distance ourselves from the Creator. And this has to do with the size of the will to receive. And the most important is the intention. As through the intention, the creatures can come closer or further from the Creator. This is the problem. That doesn't have to do with our desires. Sometimes our desire is very big. Let's say, just like in the beginning, when a person comes to the wisdom of Kabbalah and discovers that he can reveal the Creator and enter some new spiritual world, he's truly burnt on it. He's on fire. He's burning. But his intention, he doesn't know what intention is at all. He didn't ever work on the intention. And then he has to move from caring for the desire to being concerned with the intention. And this is the great work. And it's not simple. It's not easy. A person starts to measure, examine, scrutinize his intention. As the whole quality of this action completely is measured and weighed according to his intention. According to his intention to give more, he comes closer to the Creator. And according to his intention to receive more, he distances from the Creator. And in the middle between the intention to give and the intention to receive is the point of the zero point where he can decide whether he's in the spiritual or the corporeal worlds, where the whole spiritual world is in accordance with the intention in order to bestow, to give, and the whole corporeal world, we immediately feel if we are in order to receive for ourselves. And how much to receive and how much to give is already another matter. The essential point is that we are on the boundary between spirituality and corporeal, is what our intention is. And therefore, until a person comes to a state in which he can examine what he's drawn towards, not how much he's attracted towards it, but towards what he's attracted, this takes time for him to locate and beginning to examine and attribute to this intention the main importance. Because it's like shifting it forward, then it's more or less forward towards the Creator, towards the goal, or I'm reversing and I'm moving backwards. And this is something that the intention defines. This is why it's in our hands, and this is what we need to pay attention to. More and more. Slowly, slowly. We need to get accustomed to this. We need to live in this. Meaning, where does my heart lean towards? Outwards of me, towards others, towards friends, and through the friends to the Creator? Or to myself? This decides where I'm going, who I am. Am I the Creator's servant, or I serve myself? Do I advance towards the friends and through them to the Creator, or on the contrary, more towards myself. This all depends on the intention, and only later the desire which comes under that intention. The intention decides. Usually we talk in the wisdom of Kabbalah already about the desire, because it's clear to us seemingly that the desire is aimed, meaning the intention, that the desire is aimed towards bestowal, towards others, towards the created beings, and then from there to the Creator. But we don't really pay attention to this, actually, and that's why we need to exercise this, do drills on this, talk about it, and it's not simple. We need to aim towards that. This belongs to those who are drawn towards spirituality, drawn towards the Creator. For other people, we don't need to tell them about this, because this would confuse them. They don't have these discernments. They don't have in their souls yet, these discernments don't exist yet to bestow, and their intention is not, it's not yet inscribed there. And here too, we are in what we call faith above reason, where I prefer the intention towards others and the Creator than in order to receive for myself, and so on and so forth. We will check these things, but I wanted to at least today to mention and remind about the fact that we should do this clarification and scrutiny of the direction of our intention. Towards who does my heart incline towards? In order to examine the intention, we need to also disconnect from the action itself, where it doesn't matter what the deed itself is, but for whose benefit, who do I want to associate myself towards? As if I don't exist, but where do I want to see the good result from that which I'm doing? Or even not that what I'm doing, but where my heart is attracted towards. Towards the friends, to be in them, or to the Creator, which altogether is, after the friends, I locate that essence. Or that I am thinking about myself, I'm in myself, and still am in that. But nevertheless, check what the quality of the intention is, what you intend, as they say. I have to be in this examination all the time, and to live in it. Meaning I need to constantly try to get accustomed to have the habit of being in the feeling of the intention. Meaning, where am I streaming? Where am I flowing towards? With my actions, with my thoughts. Whether they're intentions for myself or intentions for others. Others are all those who are outside me, and beyond them is the Creator. This is how I decide whether I am in the world of the Creator or my world. In my world, meaning inside my shell, inside my And this is why the intention outside of me, or towards myself, or for myself, divides my reality to two parts. A part that belongs to me, mine, and a part that I attribute to outside of me, which is others and the Creator. Therefore, in order to exist in the world of the Creator, and not in my small, beastly world, I need to constantly see examine and evaluate where I am, just like the Zohar says that those people who are in the thought for themselves, the intention for themselves, they have eyes, they're looking into themselves, and they don't see anything. They're truly blind. They don't see the big world that's outside of them. Their intentions are only for themselves, and this is how they live, not being able to locate anything outside of this world, and that's how they live and die. So we need to try for our lives to be devoted for, we should say, dedicated towards replacing our sight to be only outwards from us, to only discover the world of the Creator. That's called the upper world. The lower world is when we're looking, intending for ourselves. Therefore, this article that the friends have chose, I saw it a few minutes ago when they sent it to me, is the love of God and the love of man. It's truly an article that talks about these two parts, whether we are towards the love of the Creator and the love of the created beings, or are we for self-love? Let's learn and see how we attribute ourselves to the love of others, as we say. Others is also the created beings as well as the Creator who's outside of us. If you have questions, please ask. We need to clarify these things. And the main thing I ask throughout the day is try try to do exercises on this. Again, hear, again, think. And less about the desire you should be concerned, but the intention is a must to be constantly concerned with. What am I inclined towards?
I want to have the right intention, and I want to see the example. And I look at the friends. That's the only example. And also, but I want to know if my subjective perception of the way the friends are acting is my guide to if this is the right intention.
Check where you want to see the results of your exertion. As now you're living and you're doing something, you're going around, walking, doing, thinking about something, where do you want to see the changes to occur? Very simply, that means the intention. Whether you want for those changes to be in your friends, in all of humanity, in the Creator, or do you want them for yourself? Or whether all the changes that you want to be in you are just so that you can change your attitude towards others outside of you and to the Creator. Check that. The main thing for us now is to locate the vector, the direction towards which I am looking. Where do I want to influence, to see results? Where do I want changes to take place? To the benefit of who? Not that I want to be there. A person will be where his thoughts are. That's clear. But where do I want the changes to take place? If I do a restriction on myself where it doesn't matter to me what will happen with me, but I want for the changes to be in others, in friends, in all my friends, I want the Creator to receive all the good that I can possibly attribute to Him, then that's all in order to bestow. That's called above reason, above my reason. If I'm thinking of what will be with me, that's already a problem. But also, it depends. It could be that in this thought, I begin. But later, I go with it together and develop it in the direction of truly in order to bestow. Meaning the whole direction, the vector, the inclination of this thought, I need to see whether it is towards me for my benefit or for the benefit of others and the Creator through them, through the others. Otherwise, it won't be correct. From the love of the created beings to love of the Creator, as we've learned. That's it. So what we especially want to emphasize today is that we need to examine well and measure and locate my intentions. What is my heart drawn towards? My heart. Can I change, scrutinize, control my heart? If I'm created in an egoistic way, I've created the evil inclination, the Creator says. That's how He created me, as I only think of myself. So what will I do? So they say, yes, you can do specifically as the Creator created you opposite the correct form. You can erect yourself in the correct way. And then you can turn to Him and complain, you created the evil inclination in me where I'm only thinking about myself. All my intentions are thought and thoughts are that way because you made me that way. Now help me invert them so that I will think of others and you. I want to be like you, to resemble you. So this is how we work. This is all our work.
Africa.
Thank you.
Meaning how to this rule that the Torah says that we have to come to, which is love thy friend as thyself, how can we include our attitude towards the Creator? Because altogether, we need to come to the Creator. Towards Him, we need to arrange these things. Everything we do prior to that, outside the Creator, is only to get to Him. Because beyond that, everything in between is just existing in order to connect me to the Creator. This is why it turns out that this rule, love thy friend as thyself, is all aimed towards the Creator. Meaning, thy friend, when I intend this, it's not even people and not the world, but it's the Creator, where I aim through all these incidences of the creatures and all together still vegetative and animal and all the speaking, where I actually through this locate my attitude towards the Creator. It could be that's why it's written this way, love thy friend as thyself. And by advancing to the creatures in such a way, to the others, I need to in such a way scrutinize for myself that this is how I advance towards the Creator. And to that extent in which I am in a good connection with the creatures, I attain gradually, slowly, slowly, my connection with the Creator. Where the Creator can't, doesn't want, maybe, to reveal Himself immediately before me, but rather He puts before me all kinds of such still vegetative animal speaking, through which, if I learn how to correctly aim myself for their benefit, in such a way I eventually come to the benefit of the Creator. And not that He's behind them, He's also in them. And in such a way, I advance and build myself towards Him. And then these creatures that stand before me, between me and the Creator, help me aim myself to the Creator truly in order to bestow. Because the creatures themselves repulse me from them. I don't want or intend to do anything good to them. And this is against my nature, against the egoistic nature, but I can exercise on them degree after degree, slowly, slowly, still vegetative animal, until I come to a state where I'm in order to bestow to everyone, and accordingly I begin to discover that it's not the creatures, it's not the others, but it's the Creator who's there hiding in such a way from me in order to enable me to develop and aim correctly my intention to bestow to Him. Let's continue.
Achievable.
We can see how hard this is, even in that 10 that I'm in. So I have friends that are closer. I have friends that are more distant. There are those that I'm drawn towards by my nature, my corporeal nature. And there are those that I can appreciate according to how much they know, understand, invest more, and so on. But not, I don't relate to all in an equal way. Meaning my nature, all kinds of calculations I make, which for the time being are all egoistic, aim me also not in an equal way to relate to my friends equally. Even the friends in my ten, and I need to come to a state in which I relate to them truly and equally, not paying attention to what they have, but rather locating in each of them only the good in all that they have, and they're all so different. So how do I do this? Meaning, how do I raise myself to a state in which it doesn't seem to me that it is so not easy? It's not maybe possible. I need to completely rise above my nature, not take into account any inner tastes that I have, my relations to people, to life, to certain characteristics and attributes, and nothing. And then I will be able to relate to them correctly. Because I need to love them all and in all that's in them. How is that possible? When we are born, to start with, we have relations to certain things that are more, they're nicer to us or less nice, smart or not, meaning we differentiate colors, flavors, forms, sounds, that which we feel closer or distant. I need to rise above all those discernments and love them in an equal way, where there is no difference between them all. Everyone outside of me is perfect, complete. And I love them all as they are. And what I don't see them as in a equal way, it's because I'm dividing them in such a way, and not that they are that way. Yes, Oren. Yes, Oren.
Rav, it's so powerful, the article and what you're talking about. I don't know what to do with such inspiration. Can we read this again?
Well, I hope the people will allow you. Please.
Love your friend as yourself. We should also examine and understand the meaning of the verse itself, when he says, love your friend as yourself.
Like yourself. Yes.
The literal meaning of it is to love your friend to the same extent that you love yourself. However, we see that the public cannot be like that at all. If it had said, love your friend as much as your friend loves you, there would still not be many who could fully observe it. Yet it would be acceptable. But to love my friend as much as I love myself seems impossible. Even if there were but one person in the world besides me, it would still be impossible, much less when the world is full of people. Moreover, if one loved everyone as much as one loves oneself, he would have no time for himself.
Meaning he will emerge out of himself, he will leave himself, he won't feel himself. If I feel others, I stop feeling myself. So what's left for me? It's like, where do I exist? All of a sudden I start to feel that I myself don't exist. I can't feel also the other and also myself. It's one or the other. And then it turns out that if I divide myself to everyone, then I disappear. It could be that it's a desirable thing. But that is reality for it to be that way. Yes?
For it is certain that one satisfies one's own needs without neglect and with great passion, for one loves oneself.
If I give my heart to love others, I don't feel myself at all. My self disappears from me. I'm completely in them. Do I need to live in such a way?
Yes. It is not so concerning the needs of the collective. He has no strong reason to stimulate his desire to work for them. Even if he had a desire, could he still keep this statement literally? Would his strength endure? If not, how can the Torah obligate us to do something that is not in any way achievable?
Let's go to a few questions.
Да, дорогой Раф, вот вы сказали о том, что я должен относиться.
Yeah, dear Rav, you talked about having to relate equally to me and the friends in the heart.
That is something we will have to clarify, but let's say it so. Yes.
So I have a question. You said afterwards that I need to lose myself completely.
I asked, I didn't say, you're changing what I said here. I asked whether I lose myself by this, stop feeling myself, and then I have to exist this way. I only asked. I didn't say that as a fact.
Yes, but when you start to ask for the friend, let's say, and you really feel that he exists, and at some point you disappear, the question is, why do I need myself at that point? What's that egoistic addition? What does it give? What does it add?
That's something we need to clarify. Good, nice question. Why did the Creator create the egoistic will to receive, where we all only think about ourselves and don't feel outside our borders anything? Why do we specifically need to invert that, to exit beyond my beastly boundaries that I was born in and to start living in others? What do I acquire by that? What do I buy in this? What do I then feel like I poured myself to everyone? What happens to me here? Maybe this is what we call Shechina, the divinity. Maybe this is the field that the Creator blessed, and that's where I feel and discover the Creator. We will see.
Да, и вопрос, вот вопрос, то есть получается, что любовь к товарищу, она должна существовать как бы всегда параллельно.
So the question is, it turns out that love to the friend needs to happen at the same time as self-love, or I just need to go out there and that's it.
That's a question. How do we build love of others or love of the friends or love of the Creator upon my love? Then it could be that I need to build that upon that. I can't both love myself and love the created beings, and also the created beings and the Creator. We need to clarify how we build these things. For the time being, it seems to me that I prefer this over that. I said, I don't have several hearts. It could be that I, in one heart, love the created beings, and that's it. It could be that through the others I come to love the Creator, and that's it. And then I don't have place for loving the others or loving myself. We need to see how this yearning, this love, this connection, how they're connected together or not. We will scrutinize that. Nice question. I am sure we will scrutinize it.
Доброе утро. Для реализации возлюби ближнего как самого себя.
Good morning. In order to realize the rule love thy friend as thyself, do we need to fully yearn to discover love for myself?
No, a nice question. Whether to love others, the created beings, I need to first attain love for myself. It can't be, because specifically by starting forcefully in effort to come to the love of others, you understand how much you love yourself. And your self-love doesn't let you go outwards and love others. Only in such a way you discover how much you love yourself. Therefore, as much as we have a tendency towards love of others and love of the Creator, our ego opens up even more, and even more we locate the extent in which we love ourselves only, and upon that we do a restriction, masach, hochozer, and build a spiritual peltzuf, which is considered that we're correcting ourselves towards love of others.
Beseder.
Okay. The question from a friend. Where is that inversion point of recognizing the evil in the friend?
On the way, when we gradually receive the light that reforms, and it gives us this mind, this feeling that love of the created beings and love of the God is the same thing. This is how we detect it, because all in all, what you love in the created beings, the more you correct yourself, you actually love the part of the Creator in them. Listen, if you are corrected, you start loving in the created beings, not their corporeality, from the side of the will to receive, but when you're on the side of the will to bestow, you love the Creator that shines through them, that is present in them. So, when you treat the created beings as having a part of the Creator, they're all part of the same field that was blessed by the Creator. They all carry the Creator. So, let's say the Creator is dressed in your ten, and when you see that, you love them, you cling to them, just as you cling to the Creator. It's one and the same. There's no other way for you to cling to the Creator if not through clinging to those parts of the Creator that exist in your friends. That's how it works.
Thank you.
Mak 2.
You may have answered this question already, but love thy friend as thyself. Like myself, I love egoistically. How to learn to love the friend like the Creator?
We have to do exercises and look at the friends and be envy at them for being more successful at exiting themselves and loving others. And even if they're not capable of that, they're capable of making efforts towards that. And as hard as it is for them, they still do it. And I look at them and I see how much they work on it, and I see it and I respect it. And the friends who are not so capable of that, I also appreciate them as the Creator keeps them on the path and doesn't let them just escape. And they're on the path because they have higher souls with strong, powerful, egoistic desires. And at the moment, they can't do anything about their egos. And they can't connect to the friends. But still, even though they hate everyone and they reject everyone, they feel like they can't escape the group. And so there are many different states that I need to detect and sort out here. And with it, I advance. And above all, through this whole group, which has all sorts of states, I maintain that the Creator sustains them. And I know that the group has to contain everyone, this and that and everyone else. As long as the friends don't leave the group and they're in it as much as they can with all their strength, even though it might seem to me like they disrespect or disregard or reject things and so on, I need to understand that this is the Creator who awakens different states in them, and they're fighting with themselves, and nevertheless they advance. I have to try to bear everyone, except for everything other than leave, everything other than a person who truly is a disturbance. But it depends. What does it mean? Maybe he says, I don't want the friends, I don't want the ten, but he's still there and he's doing what he needs to do. So I have to see. Maybe the Creator is giving us all an exercise. So it's not so simple. We'll advance and see. Italy 3.
Thank you, Rav. Question from the friends. How does the connection in the ten and love of friends relate to one another?
Without connecting between us in the ten, we won't be able to understand what is love of the created beings, what is love of friends. We won't get it. Specifically, we have to feel ourselves closer and closer, and that means there's all sorts of problems with it, ups and downs, scrutinies, but when we actually find it, the connection between us, it happens through things that seem very, it seems like we're very far from it, and then once again we come together, and that's how it happens. But if we find this unique emotion between us, which is above all states, these are bonds of love, by which we come to the love of the Creator. I'll tell you how it can be seen. When you love your kid, what can you do? You hate him, you love him, but you can't separate from him. Perhaps he's a criminal, but you still have love to him, and you're connected to him, like a mother feels towards her children. That is a spiritual connection between us that we can no longer separate them from us. This is called love of friends, that we feel that we are in a sharing a single soul, that the Creator brought us together from above in this way, and we don't have a choice. We can't separate from each other. In our life, mother and children, in the end, everyone dies and nothing remains. But in the spiritual life, if we become connected and we all belong to a single soul, that's it. It's for eternity. That's how we need to understand the connection. So, if you see that nothing can separate us, even though sometimes you hate or you reject or you don't pay attention, or they do it towards you, there's all kinds of scrutinies on the way, because the will to receive has to be completely revealed. Love covers all crimes. So, you have to see that this is it. They belong to you above all the states you can go through. Oh, and let's continue.
We're continuing in the article. We should not imagine that this verse was said as an exaggeration.
About love your friend as yourself.
For we are warned and insist on you will neither add nor take away from it. All the interpreters agreed to interpret the text literally. Moreover, they said that one must satisfy the needs of one's friend, even in a place where one is himself deficient. Even then, he must satisfy the needs of his friend and leave himself deficient.
We have to care for the friend more than we care for ourselves. This is called love. That the one I love is more important to me than myself. In every sense. In everything. The most obvious example is how a mother treats her baby. To her, baby is more important than herself. This happens naturally. There's no other examples, though. All the other examples are only in the other part of reality, the spiritual reality, in the intention to bestow. There, the intention to bestow can only happen above the tzimtzum. And the tzimtzum means that I restrict myself, I raise the others above myself, and then the others are important. The others are more important than myself. That means that I made a restriction. And then above that, above the restriction, I work towards the benefit of others. Don't think we're capable of that, if not by the upper force. The Creator dresses in us, and then we're capable of doing that. Next.
We'll go a sentence back. Even more than that, they said that one must satisfy the needs of one's friend, even in a place where one is himself deficient. Even then, he must satisfy the needs of his friend and leave himself deficient. The Tosfot interpret in Kiddushin 20, one who buys a Hebrew slave, it is as though he buys a master for himself. The Tosfot interpret there in the name of the Jerusalem Talmud that sometimes he has but one pillow. If he lies on it himself, he does not observe, for he is happy with you. And if he does not lie on it and does not give it to his slave, it is the sodomite rule. It turns out that against his will, he must give it to his servant. Thus, he has bought himself a master.
Well, it's clear to us from what he explains to us here that when we reach in order to bestow, we simply replace the will to receive, or we replace our individual need with the needs of others in a way that we are capable of either restricting ourselves and following the needs of others, or even opening ourselves up to bestow to others. If we just restrict ourselves and work according to the desire of others, this is called bestowing in order to bestow. If we also take all our powers and transmit them or transform them for others, this is called receiving in order to bestow. Accordingly, we go through two states, infancy, katnut, and adulthood, gadlut. Katnut is when we can only relate ourselves to others, and gadlut when we can use all our power to bestow to others. At once.
So we simply, in the 10, we talk many times that today we're about to breach the Machsom. What's the meaning? What's the Machsom?
I don't know. That you should know, because you're talking about that breaking the barrier. Breaking the barrier means breaking through the boundary between the intention for self and the intention for others. If I shift in my intentions to intentions for others, that means I cross the barrier. Latin 6.
¿Cuál es el resultado de elevar por encima de la necesidad propia la carencia del colectivo?
What's the result of rising or raising the concern for others above the concern for myself?
When I raise the concern for others instead of the concern for myself, it means I move from in order to receive to in order to bestow, and I enter the territory of the Creator, the spiritual world.
You said that Creator will help me to love others as myself. So what is my work here? My first action is my intention.
You should try to reach a state where your friend is more important than you in attaining the bestowing to the Creator. Your friend is intended to help you reach bestowal to the Creator. Without him, you can't.
Rav, what is changing in us that allows us to slowly feel the friends? I start off the path and I can only feel myself, but then I get a small sensation of the friend. What changed and how to grow this ability to feel the friend?
You have to do everything Rabash writes in the social articles, and then you will feel that something is changing in your relation to the friends. Because the upper light influences and brings changes in your attitude to them. You begin to feel a great importance in them for attaining the Creator. You start from attaining the connection to them and the attainment of the Creator. At first, you don't feel that there's a connection between these two. So I have the friends and I have the Creator. I need the Creator. I'm told that I have to be with the friends. Okay, fine, I'll be with the friends. But you still don't connect the group that you wish to establish together with them, and the attainment of the Creator that appears inside the group, inside the connection between them, between the friends. You're still not putting these two things together. And that's why love of friends is like a burden, like something I have to do. Your ego doesn't let you recognize this, that it's actually the vessel and the Creator, for the revelation of the Creator. The group is the vessel where the Creator is revealed. And the level of connection you have with the friends is the level of revelation of the Creator. All right. We already had them and them and them. Latin 7.
Thank you for letting us ask. The question is, when we start feeling the friends, do we feel their personal qualities or this general deficiency of the 10?
Normally, it's a collective deficiency. Good question. Yes.
Can you hear me, Rav?
Yeah.
Is it the beginning of the Tzimtzum in requesting to restrict myself in order to connect to the friends, or right away to ask for the friends?
Ask for the friends immediately and restrict myself. Well, actually, they don't interfere with one another. But first of all, ask for the friends. First of all, try to kind of shift and be in them. And as a result of that, you'll understand what you have to restrict in yourself. Said to my Moscow floor to fix the microphones, and that's why he's disconnecting them.
Well, when we learn these lessons, we're also searching for ways to implement it in the work between us. What can you recommend for today to implement in that connection of love thy friend as yourself equally among all the friends?
We have to feel all the friends equally before me, because that's how it comes to me from the Creator. And the reason I see them different is because I see them different in my ego. But in fact, I have to come to a state where they are all as one. As one. and I'm together with them, and I really can't distinguish between them. But distinguish according to what? That they're all close to me, and they are all complementing one another into one desire, in which I see that the Creator is happy to be revealed, and He's together with them. That's it.
Actual rule.
If the Creator demands some instrument, some means to come to love people and love Him, then we're willing to do it physically, with our hands or what, but not in our hearts. Not in our hearts. We're willing to show that we are connected, to pray, but these things are only in corporeality, material. We do it mechanically, but not in our hearts. What can you do? It's called dipping with a...
It is written when you
insect in his hand.
It is written when you observe the will of the Creator, the poor are in others and not in you. For how can there be poor when everyone does what the Creator wants and loves their friends as themselves?
He's giving you a simple example. If you're living in your society and there are still people among you who need something, this is not regarded as being in a state of loving others. Very simple. There's no point philosophizing and doing things. If there are people who are lacking something to sustain themselves, it's a sign that you have no love of others. That's it. And according to this, the Creator relates to you, because you are not concerned with love of others. And?
Rab, buen día. Pregunta era de cena.
Good morning. Question from the 10.
Dentro de la escena,
what is the meaning that he's part worthy, part not worthy in the 10? And how to pray so we will all be worthy?
We have to constantly ask corrections from the Creator, because they can only come from Him. And out of our situation, as much as we detect where we are deficient, for that we have to pray first. But even if we don't feel what is missing exactly, we can always ask for an addition of love, because there's no boundary, there's no limit to love, and we can always ask for more.
To continue Moti's question, specifically what we're reading here, if we do it between us, so we're determining the world to the scale of merit, why do we need their agreement for this? For this mitzvah, why do we even need them to agree? Why isn't our work enough to determine this to merit too?
The end of correction is when all the people in the world come to love your friend as yourself. The fact that I'm doing it by myself or even in my tent, then I did some personal correction in one cell. It's just one cell, because a tent is one cell in the entire common soul of Adam HaRishon. By this, if I don't extend it onwards, then by this I become... I become, in order to receive, I become a klipa, a shell. The spiritual direction, the plan of creation demands that I extend it immediately to everyone until everyone works in order to bestow in Dvikut with the Creator. How can I settle for less?
But according to what I feel from the article, maybe I don't understand it, because the whole proselyte thing there. But the work itself and connection between us, if we're like a conduit, asking for the love of friends between us, and we want it to spread on the entire world, so that's the action that we need. And from this, we reach the Vikut. And not that they have to do another action of their own.
No, if you're saying that we want it to spread all over the world and we're implementing, we don't need anything more.
So that's already in my personal work. So what is the matter of dissemination beyond drawing them that they are part of the Rosh and the correction? What's the matter of disseminating to the nations that they'll know the method, that they'll hear about us? What's the point?
Because you too won't be able to correct yourself completely unless you connect yourself, correct your connection with the Ahab, and you pull all the nations of the world to you.
So my ability to perform the connection is that I feel them and I'm connected to them, and then there's a meaning for aiming towards them, because I could supposedly aim not only for ourselves, that it seems to us that we're intending, but not in reality.
Your correction is mainly that you're extending the upper world through you to the nations of the world. Why else do Golgotha and I exist if not in order to sustain the Ahab, which are the vessels of reception? They are the ones that the Creator created. And we, it's as if we don't exist, those who are drawn to the Creator. We are only a conduit. That's what is writing to us in the Avot. We are only a conduit, a passageway connecting the Creator to the real created beings. And the real created beings are the whole Ahab. They're the ones who need to be corrected. The Creator yearns for them, for their correction and for their filling, to be clothed in them. And if this could be done seemingly without Israel, without this part, he would. Because we are completely insignificant here. We don't matter. We matter only for the correction of the world. And if we don't induce the correction of the world, then there's no need for us. Totally. You could just destroy that part. What is this Golgotha Anaim? It exists only for the purpose of the Ahab. Because the will to receive that the Creator created and wants it to be similar to Him is... Again, sorry.
Should the collective deficiency in the ten include love towards the entire world?
Yes, of course. We have to come to a state where the power of connection and love happens among everyone.
German one.
The way it happens. The main thing for us is to work in the same direction, connection between love, between the friends and society, and reach such a connection that will be called love. That's how it is? That's it?
Yes.
Pero aumentamos nosotros entre los que aparentemente estamos trabajando en esta conexión.
But it seems like we're distinguishing between those who want to connect and those who don't necessarily are influenced by the connection between us. Or do we just leave them, or should we connect to them and try to connect them to us, relating to the friends in the ten who are less active?
We want to connect everybody in one circle without pressing on the others. Or these more, or these less, everybody together. The main thing is to be in a circle. and everybody will feel that they have an obligation to come into the circle, and then others will feel how much they're lacking to be in that circle along with everybody.
Kiev.
Kiev.
Да, дорогой Раф, вот пишет тут здесь Вальсулам, что...
Yes, my love. Вальсулам writes here that those who are going the maximum to bestow upon others achieves maximum to good with the Creator. So when we bestow upon the friend, is it like bestowing upon the Creator?
There's no additional force in our attitude in adhesion to the Creator, but it's all-inclusive. If we reach a state that we are all included in the ten, we start feeling some force in this, a mutual force between us that is called the inclusive, and that's the Creator. And every time more and more, as much as we attain the forces of connection between us, that general common force that is revealed in all of us, that is called the Creator. Let's say this. It's like an integral that you have from the sum of all the individuals. The sum has a different essence, which is more exalted.
What does it mean that in that force of connection we discover the thought, the action?
We discover the root towards us. We also reveal a feeling in us from the Creator, and there's the revelation of the Creator that is in us, His thought towards us, His actions towards us. There's like a child that feels what he's getting from his mother and he doesn't care about anything. That's what he wants and that's what he can. But there's one who starts understanding his mother. What does she expect of him? What is her intention? That's already attaining the Creator.
То есть мы раскрываем, что эта сила любви между нами, между товарищами, она как...
So we're discovering that the force of love between us, between the friends, organizes everything, and it totally controls us.
Without the force of love between us, he makes us exist. He calibrates us. He manages us. But above this, there's also a force that invites this force of love, which is the Creator. And that's what we also attain. But again, from building the force of love between us, we start attaining the force of the Creator, which is above us. Yes.
Hello, Rav. So, practically, how do we implement during the day what we learned in the lesson? How do we go out to the day and start implementing everything we went through?
I don't know. You have to worry about this. If you don't go through this during the day, so we wasted the lesson. It seems that it hasn't been absorbed in you, and it doesn't bear any fruit. And then you don't advance. The whole day has to be in a concern. How do we implement what we got in this morning lesson? All in all, we learned one topic, but in all kinds of changes we got from it, different results we got from this. And we have to try and connect them all together into one topic. Because except for this, there's nothing. Nothing. And we're not even speaking about how we need to publish this in the world or how we need to realize it between everybody. We're only talking how we absorb this in us, how we absorb it in the group, no more than that.
Um,
Yeah, we started the lesson with your request to maintain the right intention. And the whole lesson has been very focused on one topic. How do we maintain it during the day?
I see this in the way the lesson goes by, like today, a great advancement and great help from above upon us, that we are truly becoming a big group of people that are able to be in one topic for 3 hours and discuss it and learn about it and try to implement it. I think that it will work. We will succeed. We have to keep going throughout the day. I hope that you will scrutinize all these details in this topic. Start more and more to try to be in it, and we'll keep going. The article we didn't finish it, and this topic has no limits. It's endless. It's eternal. Moscow 7.
Это вопрос от товарища.
A question from a friend.
Товарищи, помогая друг другу прийти к любви к ближнему.
How can the friends help each other come to love of others on the level of thought and intention?
Дугма.
Example.
Latet Dugma.
Give an example.
Ze achi batuach.
That is the most certain that works in the group.
Africa.
Africa.
Thank you, Rav.
Right.
In the implementation of today's topic during the day, what state of prayer are we expected to reach, please?
We are expecting to reach such a prayer that it will entirely be a plea for the force of love, that we will have the force to love everybody, mainly our 10. And in that 10, we will discover the force of unity, and at least we will correct that small cell from all the parts of the body of the shattered Adam Rishon, but from that cell we'll be able to expand and add more cells, more tens I mean, and more, and in this way we will advance. PT 5.
In the beginning of the lesson, and now you told us about scrutinizing our intention. You repeated several times the question, where is my heart leaning? And it sounds to me like I'm scrutinizing my desire, where my desire is. And it's not clear to me how it's connected to.
The intention, where my heart is tending to, is what is my intention for myself or outside of me? That outside of me is for the others, for the 10, and for the Creator.
Is the work more in the thought where a person thinks there is, or in the feeling?
I don't know how to discern between them. I think this intention is in our desire. And our desire, when it starts becoming, it's like if you're playing with a magnet and nails. So you, let's say, put them in a line, one after the other. So if you're working with the intention already according to that intention, you can start seeing the directions, how everything is organizing, how the force is working, how it gives you like a feeling, it adds everything into it. Everything follows the intention, the kavana.
There are many more questions, but just one question regarding the answer you gave to Moscow, that in the end we have to set an example to each other, and it's not clear how to give an example of inner work. Well, most of the day we are disconnected from each other. We only meet twice or three times a day. In the lesson, I can set an example. There's acting and everything. But when you're alone, what does it mean to set an example?
I don't know. Everything will be clarified in thought, as it's written. Everything will be clarified in thought. Try and hold them in your thought all the time. You, if you hold them in your thought, you're already working on them and constantly thinking about them. And if you, with your thought, you're with the Creator too, and you want to bestow to the friends, so by this you already become a great force, the Creator's worker.
Rav, can I add?
Yes.
In this work, can I demand something of the friends? Is there mutuality here? Or do I have to demand of myself?
Yes, yes, you can demand, but first for yourself. If you see you've already reached a state that you should awaken your friends physically, that they'll also participate, and you're sure that it will be for the benefit of everybody, so gently you can do it. But actually, each and every one has to scrutinize within himself what is his attitude. I think it's simple. Try listening or reading, whoever has such an opportunity, this article a few times a day, today. And you'll start seeing as much as you have more interconnections here during the day.
I'm asking because during the day I feel awakenings, and it's a sign that someone probably asked about me somewhere in the group, in the tent. In the clear, I don't know.
Probably.
So the question is, I want more of this. So can I only add of me? Oh.
So you think back about them, and in such a way you'll awaken them to think about you?
But this focuses on me. I don't have demands from the friends.
It's not demands. You can just think about them, about the connection between us. Why not?
But it's me doing it. I can't come to the friends and tell them I need to feel more love from you.
You awaken it in yourself without speaking. Awaken your love towards them. And then you'll see, as much as you feel, that they are awakening towards you.